Anybody got, you know, all those names memorized? Give you a test. Okay, give me a name that was in the list this morning. Hermes. Okay, we got one. Is anybody Julia, you noticed your name in that list, did you? Anybody else remember a name? Rufus. Does anybody remember where else we hear the name Rufus in the scriptures? It's in the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus is carrying the cross and can't carry it, and they pull a man named Simon or Simeon, I always forget which it is, out of the crowd, and they identify him by his sons. He is the father of Alexandra and Rufus. And we do wonder, could this be the same Rufus? But we do not know. Any other name you remember out of there without peeking? What was there, another one? Narcissus? You know, that's a plant name. That's how I could remember that one. Any others? Olympus? Yeah, because that's one we hear on occasion. Priscilla, Prissa there, but I know her better as Priscilla and Aquila. It's a very long list of names. And if you're like me, when you get to list of names in the Bible, like the begats, this person begat that, you tend to skip over them, right? And this is one of those long list of names that when you get towards the end of Romans, it seems an unimportant list. Most of the names on there we don't know how to pronounce, let alone who they were or what they did or where they've been. There's a couple on there that are familiar, like Julia, that it roll off our tongue easily. A couple on there we've heard before, like Aquila and Priscilla and Rufus. But some of those names, I am sure that if the person with that name was sitting here today and heard me pronounce it, they'd be like, excuse me. It goes more like this. In fact, Phil was showing us in Sunday school a little book he has on pronouncing Bible names. I said, nobody is allowed to look at it today. Once I am gone, you can give me a test on how poorly I did on pronouncing those names. It seems to us just a list of names. Unimportant. And it was almost tempting for me not to do this sermon today, just so I wouldn't have to read all of those names in front of this congregation and mess them up royally. It seems just a list of names. Easily forgotten names. Hard to pronounce names. Maybe even unimportant names to us. After all, like I said, we really aren't sure who many of the people in the list are. But for Paul, this was an incredibly important list. Every single person in that list is somebody he knew personally. Somebody that he could put not just a face with, but a personality, and even more so, a journey and a story of faith. Some of those people, like when he gets down to Rufus and he says, greet Rufus, and Rufus' mother, do I have that one right? But chose and greet his mother, a mother also to me. Wow. Not only do some of these people in the list mean something to him personally, but some of the people in this list have truly impacted Paul's faith. Two of the people on the list were even in the church and Christians before Paul was. Priscilla and Aquila were known as great teachers, and they tutored Apollos. Paul, it's some of the first people that Paul sat down with in Ephesus and did tent-making ministry with. They made tents, just like Paul, the same occupation. And they ministered together. It sounds like something very important happened in Paul's life, where his life was at risk. And they stuck their necks out and risked their lives to save his. Every single person in this list is incredibly important to Paul. Incredibly important to his faith and his faith journey. It's amazing to some scholars that Paul can list over 20 names in a church in Rome that he's never even been to, because Romans is Paul's introductory letter saying, I'm coming to Rome. This is who I am. This is what my theology is. I'm sending Phoebe, a deacon in the church, with this letter. Greet her. Help her. Make her a part of the church, as is the duty of the saints. And basically, the saints is all of us. Greet her. Make her at home, as is the duty of you as the people of God. you have someone God's going to be sending your way. Someone who right now is only a name to you, most of you. Some of you can put a face with him. Some of you are wondering what personality goes along. Will he learn your names? Will he know you? Will he be important? Will you be important to him? Right now, for you, he's just a name. But God is sending him here as a minister in the church. And it is your job to greet him as is right in the duty as the people of God, the saints. You know, when I first came here, you all were just a bunch of names. And I was thinking about this directory and the fact they gave one of these to Stephen Riddle. And I was thinking, he's probably looking through here, looking at some of these names, going, oh man, I hope I can pronounce these right. And Cheryl, I'm sure that you will instruct him in the proper pronunciation of your name. And I want you to know that I now call every Cheryl, Cheryl. You have corrupted me. It takes some time to learn the personalities and the stories and all that goes with it. But today, as I stand before you looking at this list of names that goes with this church, they are no longer just a list of names. I look through them and I look at the pictures, and there's a story and a personality and a faith that goes with each one of you. Some of you, I know quite a bit about your faith journey. Some of you, we've just scratched the surface. Many of you have profoundly affected my faith. And so, as with many pastors, I go away deeply touched. I think we all carry around a list of names. Those people who have deeply impacted our faith. Those people that we will never forget. Those people that we're grateful to. In every church I have ever served, there have been more than a handful of those people. And there have been many more added to the list. Oh, it would be dangerous to send a letter back here for me and try to list by name everyone who was dear to me. I'd be so afraid I'd just leave one out. But as with Paul, the names are no longer just names. They represent the church. They represent people of faith. They represent saints. People of God. People who've stuck their neck out for me. And some of you have done that. People who have impacted my faith. Many of you have done that. People who have worked so hard in the church. In fact, I was thinking of two of these names here. Tryphena and Tryphosa. We believe those were twin sisters. And their names literally mean delicate and dainty. Twin sisters, delicate and dainty. And Paul intentionally uses a word for their labor in the church that means they are workers as to exhaustion for the Lord. Their names don't fit at all. They are neither dainty nor delicate when it comes to the work of the Lord. And I think of many of you and how perhaps you have been perceived in your life. I was thinking particularly of Mildred and Scotty when I was thinking of those two names. Because so often we think the older people in the church are a little bit delicate and dainty, and we need to be careful with them and make sure we don't step on their toes and walk softly around them. I have truly enjoyed the women's group Bible study with Mildred and Scotty and Liz and all the others, Lucy, who's come in there. We have had so much fun. And you might think, being that it's an older women's group, that this is the delicate and dainty group. We wear our little white gloves and we say our little prayers with all the these and the thys. We do read out of the King James once in a while, I must admit. But the truth is, you all have been workers in the Lord, as to exhaustion, in the studying that we've done together, in the laboring and struggling in issues of faith, in issues of family, in issues of the nation. If the president would just come to this group, we could solve all the problems, you know? We have had a delightful time. And we have also struggled and labored in prayer for many of you in the church, and it's been an honor. There are so many others in this list that remind me of so many things about Bethel. But I guess the thing that this list makes me think most is the fact that we are one in Christ. All of those greetings, Paul hasn't even been to this. And these names and these people have reached beyond their local church, have reached beyond their local city, and touched the lives of Paul in other parts of the world. And I think how many times we've talked about the fact that Bethel has reached out and touched the community in ways we didn't even know. Mike sharing with us on Heritage Sunday that we helped the school with an amplification system that they can announce things. And I think of the way that Mac McElvar worked in the schools, tutoring and helping kids with math, I believe it was. And I wonder how many people even knew that. And I just know that I'm going to run into people in my ministry, and I'm going to mention a name. Perhaps it will be like I mentioned Edna Tessie one time and found out that people down in Crawfordville were good friends with her from the Lay Witness Program. I want to mention one of your names, and one of your names is going to be mentioned back to me in a situation I would have never thought of because of the way in which the Spirit of God works. All that we do in all the churches and all the nations and cities and congregations around this world are working together as one in Christ. So I think my favorite part of this is the final sentence. And it's a sentence that I think we need to look at and think about more often. We're changing pastors and we're changing churches and we're thinking about what we're losing and wondering about what we're gaining. And I think we're all forgetting something very important. It's not just about Bethel, and it's not just about Laura Fisher. It is about all of the churches in Christ. And so today, I can easily extend the greeting of Trinity United Methodist Church in Winter Haven to you. And when I go down there, I can easily extend their greeting to you. Because in Christ, all the churches of Christ greet you, and all the churches of Christ greet me. May we remember those names that have impacted our life. May we remember those pastors that have touched our lives. But may we remember even more that name that binds us all, that name that makes us one, that name that knows us better than we know ourselves, that name of Jesus Christ. May the peace and the unity and the love of Christ bind us all forever and ever until we feast together at that heavenly banquet where each one of our names is written on a chair and we'll be able to look across the table and have a great party. I have a new vision of heaven, and I think Bill Broadfield is the one who gave this to me. I was complaining about how when you move, you can't just take all your favorite people with you. And I said, what a vision of the church it would be. You know, think about it. If I could just keep piling you all up in one church at the end of my ministry. And he said, you know, maybe that's what heaven will be like. And you know, that's just exactly what heaven's going to be like. Will you stand with me as we sing our closing hymn, number 672, God be with you till we meet again.